And this is probably, I don't know how many times you've been to Owosso. We're probably one of your number one, 22 times. 22 years in a row he's been with us. So we're so glad he's here today. If you'd like to bless him with an offering, I would encourage you to do that. Use the keyword Reggie. That's pretty simple and straightforward. And I'll remind you of that at the end, too. You can drop it off on your way out as you leave, or you can give any of those other manners that we talked about. Wow, he was all over, not just Owosso, but down into Tulsa and all around a bunch of schools, a lot of places. Let me tell you one. He was at one Christian school. I'll leave it nameless. But at a Christian school, he has more liberty than he would in the public school. And at the end of the presentation, he gave a salvation invitation to come and commit their life to Christ. And in a Christian school, how many of you have ever attended a Christian school? Some of you. Here's the news flash for some of the rest of you. Not everybody who goes there is a Christian. Some of them are there because no other school would let them come back. This is kind of the last hope. Some of them are very deeply committed Christians, but you get everything there. At a Christian school, they gave an invitation to accept Christ, and hundreds of students responded saying, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. That happened this week in Tulsa. This is one of my very long-time, lifetime friends. I love him like a brother, and I am so glad he's at Owosso First Assembly today. Help me give a great welcome to our friend Reggie Dabbs.
Good morning, church. How you doing today? I don't think you're ready for me, but I got nowhere else to go till 3:30 when my plane leaves. But it's good to be with you. It's good to be with you. Let me explain how this morning's service is going to go. I have infused, that's a good word, isn't it? I have infused some of the components I do in the public school setting with my sermon for you today. So like if you're asking, how do you speak to like 70 football players? What do you say to them? I'm going to show you how I do that. Some of you are like, how do you end an assembly program in a public high school? I'm actually going to end my service today the way I would end a public high school assembly program. Cool? So now, first of all, you have to help me out. Y'all got to be a little louder. I can hear the air conditioner blowing right now, okay? So y'all going to have to be a little louder. And let me give you the title of my sermon. The title of my sermon today is, What Do You See? So do me a favor. Just look at somebody beside you and say, what do you see? Look at somebody on the other side of you. Ask them again. Say, hey, what do you see? Turn around. Look at somebody behind you and say it again. Say, what do you see? If you're online, type in that comment section. Just say, what do you see? So that's what we're going to talk about. So let me start with Owosso football team. Or I was at Rogers High School with their football team. Here it is. Football players, even coaches or players, they know other athletes. You see what I'm saying? So I have to come in and make it some kind of, make it connect the dots. I got to connect the dots. Here's how I did it with the Ram football team and the Ropers. Their mascot is the Ropers. I would dig up my relatives, slap them, and bury them again if they called my mascot a Roper, okay? I didn't say nothing to them because them brothers could have hurt me, all right? I was like, that's the coolest mascot ever. So here it is. Long, long time ago, not too long ago, I used to do fundraisers for the Boys and Girls Club of America. I was asked by Charles Barkley to go to Houston and help him raise money. Then I was asked by Tiger Woods to go to California, help him raise money at his Boys and Girls Club. I was even asked by Michael Jordan, hello, to go to North Carolina and help him raise money for his Boys and Girls Club. But the most memorable one was an old football coach by the name of Lou Holtz. Oh, look at y'all. Go ahead and clap your hands if you've heard of that man. Now, let me help you out about Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz has coached in every conference on the face of the planet Earth. Either he's good or he's so bad, he gets fired from every other job. He's been to Arkansas, Minnesota. But this happened when he was at the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Touchdown, Jesus. The whole thing. It was a Sunday morning. His phone rang early on a Sunday morning. When he picked it up, it was one of the assistant coaches informing him that one of his players, a fifth-year senior's dad, had passed away, and that that boy had to go home to bury his father. Lou Holtz said, okay, cool, I'll send a message. Let's get some flowers to the funeral home. Do what we got to do. On Thursday, the following week, that fifth-year senior came back to school, was at practice. At the end of practice, Lou Holtz looked at him and he says, look, if you don't practice, you can't play. It's our rule. It's always been a rule. So tomorrow, come, do the run-through with us. But I want you to know early now, you won't get a jersey tomorrow night. Because Notre Dame was famous after the walkthrough before the game on Saturday, on Friday night. They give them their game jerseys, and they literally have it in their dorm room to watch it, to dream what they want to do, what they want to accomplish on game day. Stuff like that. They did that. So Lou Holtz went home. Friday went through the walkthrough. Friday, now here's something about Lou Holtz. He is the most structured brother I have ever met in my entire life. Everything is the same. Everything. If he gets up at 7:05, he gets up every day at 7:05. Even if he ain't got to go coach, he's up at 7:05. Practice over 4:45 p.m. Over. Why? Because by 5:05 p.m., he's at home, already washed his hands, sitting at the dining room table, eating his dinner that his wife made for him every day. Somebody touch your neighbor and say every day. Come on, touch your other neighbor and say every day. On this particular day, Friday afternoon, walkthrough's over. He walks in. He could smell from the car the homemade rolls. He knew it was fried. He knew it was pot roast and mashed potatoes. Some of you are like, in this service now. He walked in, washed his hands. He went to the dining room table, never even looked up, sit down, reached for his napkin, and it wasn't there. He looks up and looks around. There is nothing, not a fork, not a spoon, not a plate, not a cup, not a glass. So he yells, baby, where's my food? And from the back kitchen, he heard this. Do the right thing and I'll feed you. If you don't, starve, I don't care. And he said, what did I do? And she said, look around the table, blind thing. He looked over and there was a jersey. It was that boy's game jersey. He said, fine. So he jumped up, grabbed a jersey, drove back to the campus, walked in the athletic dorm, knocked on that boy's door. The boy opened the door and said, Coach Holtz. And he said, I love my pot roast. Threw the jersey at him, turned around and walked back. By the time he drove in the driveway, he could still smell the bread. He walked in the house, and all of a sudden, his wife sitting there, the spread is there. And she goes, where you been? I've been waiting for you. Sit down and ate. Now everybody, hey, touch your neighbor and say, what do you see? Touch your other neighbor. Come on, say, what do you see? And you know what? Some of you don't even like football, and you into my story right now, aren't you? I got to finish it, though. I know. Some of you like, go ahead, Reggie. This is good. I know. Second weekend of the NFL, college football, 3 weekends in, Oklahoma State. Go Cowboys. The other school. All right, so. Pastor Kevin told me to do that just like that, okay? He said, do it just like that. I'll appreciate it. Okay, got you, man. Got you. The who? Oh, no. There is one Alabama man up in the top corner of the church who's breathing a sigh of relief this morning. Okay, watch this. It's game day. They're playing Georgia Tech. Back then, they always ended the year with Georgia Tech. It was on. The band's playing, everything's happening. They're doing pregame warm-up. All of a sudden, it's the flip of the coin. Notre Dame wins. They defer to the second half. And Lou Holtz saw something. I mean, there's people everywhere. It's on national television. And all of a sudden, he looks over. And that fifth-year senior The kid whose dad just died is standing by the special teams coach because all he did was punt return. That's all he played for, punt return, fifth-year senior punt return. And something in Lou Holt's heart just jumped up, and he looked at the special teams coach and said, put the kid in. Put him in. We're kicking off. Put him in. And then the special team coach says, yes, sir. He goes, get in. And the kid goes, what do I do? He said, see the ball, get the ball. See the ball, get the ball. See the ball, get the ball. Just stand right there on the end. And it was right there, right there. Some reason he pulled the kid out, put this kid in, and nobody saw him. And when Notre Dame kicked that ball off, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. Everyone got blocked but him. And he saw the ball. And the kid who caught the ball wishes he had never caught that ball, because this little Notre Dame kid hit him so hard, he fumbled. A Notre Dame kid picked up the ball, ran it in, touchdown. 7-0 Notre Dame. Unless you're a Georgia Tech fan, that's not good, all right? All of a sudden, they do it again. He goes down again. They didn't block him again. He hits the guy at the 5-yard line. He goes, good, leave him in. Lou Holt yelled, leave him in, leave him in. They found a spot for this kid to play on defense. In the end of the game, he got the game ball. In the locker room, they read off his statistics. 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 fumbles caused, and 1, he got him himself. And they gave him the game ball, and they said, talk to us, talk to us. Tell him, kid, tell the kids, tell him up. And this boy, fifth-year senior. Now, remember, I'm with the Fighting Rams of Owosso High School, and I tell them this story. Now, the Rams are all leaning in. They want to hear what happened when this boy got the game ball. The boy stood up, and he said, you don't understand. My dad died last weekend. I didn't even expect to play. But there's something you didn't know about my dad. My dad came to every game all 5 years I was here. This is the first game he missed. And there's something I never told anybody. But my dad was blind. Could not see. He would come in the stadium before everyone else. Even when I was on the field, I'd see him. But when we kicked off and coach put me in, right when they kicked that ball off, it hit me in my head that today is the first day my dad gets to watch me play. And I had nothing else to do but my best for him. Because he could see what I was doing. He could watch me run. He could see me tackle. He could see me do this. So with the Rams, I taught him a little Latin. And so this morning I need to teach you a little Latin. I know some of y'all looking at me like, ooh, Reggie, you educated. You know Latin. Yes, I do. I know one word. And I'm even going to tell you how I taught myself this Latin word. We drive a car. So everybody say car. We pay a bill. Everybody say pay. You wear denim jeans, but we're going to say diem. Say diem. So if you put it together, it's carpe diem, which the English translation means seize the day. So let's pretend you're Owosso High School football team. 70 big, ugly goons, all right? So whenever I say carpe diem, you say seize the day. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Now, y'all doing pretty good. I'm going to give that to you one more time. Carpe diem. You're doing real good, except with 70 brothers who play football, it's a lot lower pitch than what you're doing right now. You sound like a couple of fifth graders up in the house.
Seize the day.
All right. But everybody, come on, carpe diem. Don't you get this today? Have you figured it out yet? What I'm trying to get these young men to realize is they're not just playing a game called football. They're playing a game called life. And when you play a game called life, every day that you breathe is a day for carpe diem. Carpe diem. Every moment of your life is carpe diem. Carpe diem. So now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, what do you see? Look at your other neighbor. Say it again. Say, what do you see? So there was a part with the football team that I asked who the quarterback was, and the quarterback stood up. And I saw him on TV the night before, so I knew who he was. And he stood up. I said, how far can you throw a ball? And he says, 60, 65 yards. And I'm bold, like I'm the man, 65 yards. So what I did was, I said, throw this one. And when he saw it, he goes, no. He goes, I can't throw that one 65. I said, why not? It's a football. It's just like any other football. And he goes, it's flat. I said, what are you trying to say? He said, it ain't got nothing on the inside. Carpe diem. So then I had a real football, and I said, what about this one? He goes, there you go. That's more like it. But they're the same thing. They're the same thing with one exception. And that one exception you cannot see physically on the outside, but you know it's there on the inside. Come on, y'all. Help me out. I haven't even given you my scripture verse yet, but I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you this morning, because here's the deal. In life, if you want to carpe diem, seize the day, then you got to have something on the inside of you that's going to help you get to where you want to go, to become what you want to be, to be it, live the way you want to live. If you like this, you look like you're okay, you smell like you're okay, it could be okay, but you're missing something on the inside. I'm preaching by myself today, because y'all, everybody look at your neighbor and say, what do you see? I brought him up here. I don't need him, because my son said that the letters on my iPad are the size of a billboard. But I brought my glasses simply because I want you to understand something. Now, before I give, I got two examples for what I need to explain to you today. Then I'm going to go. Can I be all honest? Can I be totally honest with you? I am about to lose more friends than I've ever lost in 58 years of being a human being on this planet. You know why? Because I wrote a book on racism. And I'm about to lose everybody. This could be the last time I'm at Owosso First Assembly. But I'm just telling you, it's because somebody had to do it. And I did it. Here's why I did it. I wrote the book for the church. Because you know how many of my white pastor friends called me after George Floyd died and said, what do we do? And I went, I got to help them. So one of those pastors, his name's John. The day after George Floyd died, he called me and goes, hey, bro, we've been friends for a long time. He's my ghostwriter for three of my books. And I said, well, come on, man. He said, can I ask you something? I said, absolutely. Can I talk to you about racism? All our life, we've known each other since we were 13 years old, going to church camp together. We wrote three books. You know how close you are to somebody when they're your ghostwriter? You're real close. And guess what? He never asked me about racism until this year. So we talked about it. And all his questions were really good. And I gave him answers. He goes, bro, your answers are really good. He goes, but I don't know a white guy who can give me that kind of answer. Only a brother could do that. And I said, he goes, we should write a book. I said, cool, I got the title. He goes, what is it? I said, my one black friend, and we're going to have a good time. They wouldn't let me do that. I tried. But the first part of the book is my sermon with you today. And it's simply this. The question is, when was the last time you changed your mind about something? When was the last time you put your own theological theories on the shelf and just read something or saw something and just looked at it? Then I said this. I said, John, we got to let people know this is for the church. This is for the church. So the church is people who decided to put their hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So they have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sin. They've done Romans 10:9. For the Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. They've done this. And when you do that, you have an opportunity to find something on the inside that doesn't make your life flat. But then God looks at you and he says, do you want to go deeper? Switch with me. You see what I have? We get to switch the lenses that we view the world in. If we know Jesus, it changes everything. Are y'all with me? Say yeah. Okay, come on. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. It changes everything. It changes everything. Everything, everything, everything. The way you see it, the way you see it, the way you view it, it changes it all. So that's why we started. I said, that's where we got to start. So we write this thing, and it comes out October 12th. Then it happens. Somebody had the brilliant idea of sending the promotion kit to Good Morning America. And I said, lady, you go ahead, do what you got to do. But there ain't no way. This is a book for the church. It's for pastors and teachers in the church to know what to say when this racism thing comes up. October 11th, Monday, the day before the book comes out, not one segment, after the producer of Good Morning America talked to me. He decided they needed to do a 3-minute segment, go to a commercial, come back, and do another 6-minute segment, all on racism and asking me what to do. I'm about to lose every friend I have on the face of the planet Earth. Because you know what? I changed the way I saw things. And it's not just racism, it's life. It's having something on the inside that can make you go further than if you decided to do something on your own. Even after you know Jesus, it's a possibility. And you can do this, but here it is. Are y'all ready? John chapter 8. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to explain it. Here's what happened. Jesus is in the temple about to speak, and all of a sudden the door is open, and they come in, they're yelling, screaming, and they're dragging a woman in, and they throw her up front in the church, in the temple, and they look at Jesus, and in verse 3 they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses' law gives us the order to stone such a person. What do you say?" They were trying to trap Jesus into saying something incriminating. Jesus, I love this, bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept badgering him. He straightened up and he said, "The sinless one among you, throw the first rock." Hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone with Jesus. Jesus stood up and spoke to her, "Woman, where are they? Those who condemn you, are they here?" The woman replied, "No one, master." "Neither do I," Jesus said. "Now go on your way, and from now on, don't sin." What do you see? Well, let me just break it to you the way 10-year-old Reggie saw it. When I was 10 years old, we went to church one Sunday morning, and I was 10 years old. I didn't get to sit wherever I wanted. I had to sit between mom and dad. It was a rule just to keep the peace. Because I had a little problem back then, all right? I might still have that problem. But I'm sitting between my mom and dad. My dad goes, "If there's a word you don't understand, raise your hand. And if I don't know it, your mom does. She's an English teacher." I said, "Cool." So he started. The pastor read that story. He said, "There was a woman caught red-handed in the act of adultery." I raised my hand. And my dad didn't even listen to me. He said, "Ask your mother." Let's just go on, all right? All I know is this. When my dad finally answered the question, I said, "Dad, what's adultery?" He said, "In order to participate in such an activity, you must have no clothes on." I said, "Wait a minute. So that woman got thrown in front of the church with nothing on?" He goes, "Exactly." I said, "Now that's a Sunday you will never forget." And all of a sudden, I'm like, "You can't do that. You got to have clothes in church." He goes, "Really, do you? What did Jesus do?" I said, "Oh, he got rid of everybody." My dad goes, "That's Jesus." My dad taught me this in like a matter of a minute. He said, Jesus had a way of doing things other people wish they had done after it was all over. But Jesus said the same power that lived in him, that rose him from the grave, lives in us today. So all we got to do is want to see the world in a different way. See it through Jesus' eyes. Because Jesus did not see a naked woman who sinned. He saw a child of God who needed to be covered up. Hey, come on, go ahead and clap. Because you know I'm right. I told you I'm losing friends. I might as well start in the place I've been to 22 years, okay? But you got to listen to me. Hear me right now. I want to be that guy. I want to be that person. I don't want my life just to look like everyone. We all look like everybody else. Different shades, different sizes, yeah. But it's what's on the inside that makes us fly. And it's time for the church to fly. If you with me, say, what do you see? Y'all ready? Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Man, this is a good sermon. I'm preaching this really good because I'm hungry. Okay. Hey, watch this. Can you picture this? Can you picture that woman? What in the world? She knew the law. She knew that she was about to be stoned to death. She knew, but they took her to the right place at the right time. And she didn't think it was the right place. Why would you want to have nothing on in church? But here comes Jesus. And you know what I loved about Jesus? If you'd have walked into church late that day and they had already drugged the woman in and they were yelling and you walk in and say, "I thought Jesus was speaking." They go, "He is. Where is he at?" In order to find Jesus, you would have to stoop lower than the crowd yelling. You would have to stoop lower than a woman with no clothes on. You would have to stoop lower than the shame and the pain and the sorrow and the regret. You would have to stoop so low that whoever it was down there was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what I love? I love that's where Jesus was born. He had to, so that he can stoop lower than any hurt, any pain, any shame, any sin, anything that we could ever done. Why? Because when Jesus stoops, when he stands up, everything changes. The Bible says they left from the oldest to the youngest, and there was no one left but her and Jesus. You have shame, but he will never have shame for you. He will empty a room to protect your dignity, because that's who Jesus is. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, what do you see? Come on. Jesus stooped. I love that. One of the versions of the Bible says Jesus stooped. And I just broke it down. Jesus stooped to wash a brother's feet. Jesus stooped to hold a little child. Jesus stooped to pull Peter out of the sea when he was drowning. Jesus stooped down to put mud in a man's eye so he could see again. Jesus stooped to pray in the garden before the soldiers took him away. Jesus stooped to pick up a cross that he would carry to his death that would make our salvation. Jesus stooped so that we don't live empty, but we can live a full life. Jesus stooped. Somebody say, what do you see? What do you see this morning? And if you can't, then ask Jesus, change my eyes so I can see. Change my eyes. Let me have your vision. Let me see the way you see it. Can I give you another one? Y'all good? If you're good, say yeah. Let's see if you're still with me. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Can, if somebody gets this today, if one kid gets this today, life can be so much better. So let's go to schools. So I was with the fifth grade, the mighty Cardinal fifth graders. They were so jacked up on sugar, or it was Friday. I don't know what it was, but there was no hope of survival for any adult in that gym. So much so that when I was done, I literally walked away praying for every teacher, faculty, and staff member. Jesus, protect them in the last hour of the school day. But there was a principal who could see the way Jesus saw. He was in tune. Matter of fact, I think his son's here today. Yeah, he is. This principal gets on the mic, let's thank Reggie. And it was thunder because they're banging their feet on the bleachers. They're yelling and screaming. He goes, matter of fact, let's just all go to the playground and have a good Friday afternoon. See ya! And the teachers gave the principal a standing ovation. You know that brother saw through Jesus' eyes, because there was no hope coming back from that. I talked about what they could do. And for the next 10 days, so it started on Friday, which was the 17th of September, and it goes until the 27th of September. It's called the 10 for 10 challenge. Everybody say 10 for 10. Every day, you must find 10 people to show a random act of kindness, hope, and love to for 10 days in a row. Hey, he don't bother me. Y'all, he could stay if you want to stay. It ain't going to bother me. It ain't gonna, I got a mic. I can be loud. Hello, little man. You just stay right there because you're gonna be an Oklahoma State Cowboy and beat Oklahoma one day. Yes, you will. Yes. Am I doing good? I'm doing good. All the Sooner people are packing their bags. All right. Now, look, listen to me. Hear me out. So every day you get 10 people, random people, show an act of kindness, hope, and love to them. For the next 10 days, you have to do it every day, even over the weekend. And these kids are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's show hope. Let's show love. I love that because it's like almost brainwashing. So I did this, and we've done this a while, and I did it one time. I was in Ferguson, Missouri, and I was there right after a race problem that they had there, and I was at Ferguson High School, and I noticed in the school with about 2,500 students, the auditorium held about 2,600 students. So there was just one little section empty, and it was up front, and there was one boy sitting by himself. There was two rows around him. Nobody sit with him. Right before we started, I looked at the principal and said, what's up with that? And he goes, he is the nastiest child. I have ever had the privilege of having in my school. But I'm not giving up on him. He has a special schedule. He's in a classroom by himself. He has a teacher by himself. He goes to lunch 30 minutes before the cafeteria opens. And 5 minutes after the cafeteria opens, he's got to be back in his room. This is his last chance. I went, oh, so he in jail. And the principal went, exactly, to save the rest of us. I ain't never heard that story about a kid. So at that high school, they asked me to do the 10 for 10 challenge. When I got done, everything was finished, got done. That kid came up to me and went to the principal, said, can I say hi to him? I said, absolutely. He walked up, shook my hand, and says, Mr. Reggie, your mom gave you away. Yeah, so did mine. You met her? I said, yes, I have. I'd met mine too. How about your dad? I said, sir, I don't have a clue who my dad is. He goes, me either. He goes, and you're good, bro. You're a good man. I said, thank you. I said, because so are you. He goes, no. I said, come on, man, 10 for 10 challenge. Starts right now. The next day, the principal from that school called me. First of all, I don't know how he got my cell number. I don't be giving that stuff out, all right? He calls me and I go, hello? He goes, hey, I'm the principal from yesterday. I said, how'd you get my number? He said, you don't want to know. So, okay, no problem. What can I do? He says, something just happened during lunch and I had to tell you about it. He says, you remember the boy that was sitting by himself over on the side? I said, absolutely. He goes, well, today something happened in the cafeteria. He eats 30 minutes before everyone else. And when the first lunch comes in, he has to take his tray up and leave. Well, there's a girl in first lunch. She has cerebral palsy. She uses walkers. But she always puts them by her seat, goes with her friends in line, walks through, gets her lunch, and she walks with her tray every day to her seat. She just wants to do that. She wants to have a little normal. But today, she must have been tired because her legs got crossed up. And as she had her tray, she fell down and lost all her food and everything. Well, the first one to help her was this boy that has special classes, right? He helped her, got her back to her seat, and then all of a sudden he disappeared. And I looked away. When I looked back, he wasn't at his seat. He didn't tell me he was going back to class. He wasn't anywhere. So I get on my walkie-talkie and I say, code blue, go blue. He has his own code with all the security guys. I said, code blue. So all the security guys stop what they're doing. They're chroming the school trying to find this kid. And then I look up in the lunch line and he's coming out with a tray of food. And I'm watching him, and he walks over to the girl with cerebral palsy, slides the tray in front of her, and says, you have to eat. I remember I saw what you lost, so I just bought it for you. And I just want you to know, I admire you, the way that you carry your own food every day. I watch. So I don't want to be weird or nothing, but it encourages me. So you have a wonderful day. I was behind him when he did all that speech. And he turned around and said, go to my office. He said, yes, sir. When I walked to the office, I said, what are you doing? He goes, Mr. Principal, that dude yesterday, Reggie, he told me I can do something good. He said, so last night, I started the 10 for 10 challenge. There was a little old lady at the grocery store. She came out the door with two bags in her hands. So I grabbed her bags and she started hitting me with her cane because she thought I was stealing her groceries. I figured out quick, I better ask before I just try to help somebody. He said, I did 10 yesterday. I said, that was number 8, that girl right there. He goes, it's kind of contagious. Y'all see what I'm saying? Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, what do you see? Touch your other neighbor and say, hey, what do you see today? Do I have time for one more? Okay, I'll give you one more. In the book of John, chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was by a well called Jacob's Well. And Samaria, where he was, Jewish people don't go there. They just don't. And even, you got to understand, this story, if you go there and read it, just look at what's in parentheses. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the story that's taking place with Jesus. The first thing in parentheses, it says this, that all the disciples went to town to get food. Ain't nowhere else in the Bible does Jesus send all the disciples away except right there. And I think I figured out why he did that. The other thing is this. Jesus is by this well. A woman comes up at noon. Now, Samaria, it's a desert place. Hot. Noon's hot. I found out how hot noon is in Oklahoma. Because at noon on Friday, I was doing the entire sixth grade at Collinsville on their artificial turf football field. If I look a little darker today than I was last week, it's because, do you know how hot it gets on an artificial turf field? And they put the kids perfect. They put them where the sun hadn't hit yet. So they're in the shade, having the time of their life. I'm having a heat stroke. And Kevin's laughing at me, all right? It was just so hot, so hot. And here's Jesus, and this woman comes up to get water. And Jesus says to her, hey, excuse me, can you get me something to drink? And the woman looks at Jesus and says, wait a minute. Why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for something to drink? Okay, now let me help you out. Look at what's in parentheses. First thing it says is, all the disciples went to town to get food. The second thing in parentheses says this, Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So there's racism then, and there's racism now. So what do we get to do? Since we know Jesus, we get to choose how we see racism. Oh, some of y'all mad now. It's okay. Just go with me on this. So watch what happens. So here it is. So the lady goes, why this? Here's my thing. My thing is, why are we in the parentheses? All the disciples that walked with Jesus, talked with him, that raised people from the dead, that became his church extended. In this particular story, they're not even in the main story. They're an afterthought. It's time for the church to stop being an afterthought and be in the main story. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, seize the day. Seize the day. We got to do it. We got to do it. We got to do it. So here's Jesus. I need something to drink. Jesus was a man. He wasn't God. He was man. His man said, it's hot. It's a desert. I need something to drink. He put his physical need in the hands of a person that he wasn't even supposed to like. Because Jewish law says you're better than them. Jewish custom says you're better than them. Jewish politics says you're better than them. But Jesus didn't live by the rules of their time. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there because I've taken you where you could not go unless it was me taking you there. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus looked at that lady and said, hey, I got a water. If you take this water, you'll never thirst again. And this woman just went off. She started talking about her gods and against his gods and her religion against his religion. She was so bad. She ended up talking about her personal life. She was just spewing it all out. And you know what Jesus did? Instead of correcting her, telling her what she should be doing or saying, he just leaned in. He went, okay, there you go. He listened. And then he had his turn. And he changed that woman's life. Later on, the disciples talk about that very story. They said, when we came back, we saw this and we were in awe. We were amazed. How could this be? How could what be? They've already seen Jesus raise somebody from the dead. But it was even more amazing to them that he would talk to a woman like that and that she would accept him and he would love her. So we got a choice. I do think that when people accept Jesus, they could be either one of these. And it's not about salvation. It becomes more what you're going to do with your salvation. Because with this one, even that Owasso quarterback could only throw it so far. But this one, it'll fly. All because of what you have on the inside. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. I know y'all like, man, what a sermon. Somebody's going to ask, well, what did Reggie preach on? You're going to go, you don't want to know. Or are you going to say, it was great, I wish I could remember it? Well, get the tape. I think they taped this. I'm pretty sure they do. Go back and mull over it. Check it out. See what it could do. But can I ask you a question? Which one are you? Are you flat today? Hey, life has a way of flattening a brother out. Life has a way of sucking the air right out of you. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Life has a way of causing pain, hurt, and trials and tribulations. Life has a way of causing all these bad things to happen. But guess what? I don't live by the ways of the world. I live by Jesus. And the white guy on the keyboard tells me my time is almost done. But I got something for you before I go. Let me show you how we end assembly programs today. But in order for me to do this, I'm going to need everybody. I'm a saxophone player. I brought my soprano saxophone. And thank you. Some of you are wondering. So here it is. Everybody, it's all about crowd participation in public schools. Crowd participation. All you got to do is this. Everybody, put your hands up and put your hands down. Now go like this. Now, if you got grandkids and they dab, don't dab. Don't ever do that, okay? Now, wiggle your little kid top. He just dabbed. Oh, my goodness. All right. Wiggle your fingers all the way across the room. All the way across. Good. Now, point at yourself. Now, point at somebody else in the room. Okay, this is good. This is the best way to end a Sunday morning service. One more time. Hands up. Hands down. Wiggle. Point at yourself. Point at somebody in the room. I love this. I think this is the perfect way for us to do this right now. So here's the deal. This is an old school song. In public schools, I bring every teacher, faculty, and staff person to the gym floor, auditorium, stage, and I thank them for being teachers in such a time as this, that we need them. And then I have them as my backup dancers to do this song for me. So in order for this to work, Pastor Bruce, I might need you to come up here for a second, please. Pastor Kevin, I need you to come from back there, please. Your music pastor, I need you to come right there, too, yeah? Awesome, that's good, that's good. Everybody clap for my backup dancers this morning. I can hear the keys typing online right now, all right? So just to help you out, let me do it one more time. Everybody help them. Hands up, hands down. Wiggle. Point at yourself, point at somebody in the room. Cool, that's all you got to do. Now listen, you boys are going to know when to do this. It's going to be good. You know what? Okay. No. I was going to make their spouses come, but I ain't going to do that. Nope. I like life. Carpe diem. Are y'all ready? Okay, everybody, get your hands ready. This is it. I want to see the way Jesus sees. And you know what happens when we see the way Jesus sees? You know what happens when we let him fill us up on the inside? We get to be things to the world that they're looking for, all right? And we get to sing to the world this. Here we go. Everybody clap your hands. Help me out. Oh, yeah, here we go. I know you know it. Put your hands up and sing. No valley. Oh, that's real good. No river. To do what? To keep me from getting. Everybody clap your hands. Come on. No valley, no river, to do what? To keep me from getting. All right, it's the pastor's dance. Go pastors, go pastors, go pastors, go pastors. All right, everybody just clap your hands. Clap your hands. No valley. No river. Oh, y'all doing real good to keep me from getting. Last time, sing it loud. Ain't no. No valley. No river. Come on, you got to help me. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Jesus, thank you for this day. God, I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, I pray right now for anyone whose life is flat, that they would simply say, Jesus, fill me up. God, I pray before pastor comes and closes in prayer that you would help someone today. With every head bowed, no one looking around. If you hear and you say, Reggie, my life is flat because I know I've sinned. And I need to do Romans 10:9. Declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you're online and you're like, Reggie, I'm a sinner. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. We're all going to say it together. I'm going to ask every saint to help every sinner in the church today. That's simple because every saint has a past and every sinner needs a future. And this is where those collide. So if you have sin and you know that's you, say these words with me. Everybody say, I will. I want to hear this prayer that loud. Everybody say, Jesus, I realize today I need you. I know that sin has sucked the life out of me. I want to go far for you, Jesus. So I ask you to forgive me and fill me up. Jesus, today is my day to come home. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and loving me to wait for me till today. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Every head bowed, no one looking around. If you're in this room right now, the only people looking are the pastors behind me. If you accepted Jesus and got right with Jesus this morning, the Bible says in Matthew, if you declare me before men, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. So I'm just going to ask you right now, real fast, on no one's looking except you and Pastor, they're going to wave back at you. If you got right today, go public for Jesus. And on the count of three, I want you to wave at Pastor until they wave back and you can look down. If you're online, down in that comment section, can you just put like thumbs up or waving hands or even praying hands saying that today you made that commitment? Are you ready? One, two, three, go, go. You did it this morning. You asked Jesus to fill you up, forgive you of your sin. They're going to wave back at you. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. One last time. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Carpe diem.